Kicking it in hour number two, we're going to turn and talk a little hockey. And I'm pleased to be joined on the hotline by Mike Colligan, Pittsburgh Penguin correspondent, the Hockey Writers, NHL analyst for Forbes Sports Money. Got a lot of things, but most importantly, Mike has set up his own website, www.colliganhockey.com, where he's doing the great work that he always does. Mike, appreciate you taking the time to be with us here on 970 ESPN.
Yeah, thanks a lot, David. Certainly a busy time of year, and seems like every day there's a new story and a new name to discuss, and I guess that's the nature of trade deadline frenzy in just about every sport, but the Penguins are no stranger to this time of year, that's for sure.
You can check out Mike's site. He did an interesting article 8 days ago and looked at 18 players and where they'll land at the NHL trade deadline, and as you well know, as everybody well knows, that's just opening yourself for ridicule. So God bless you for doing it, Mike, because it's kind of like throwing darts. But I really did enjoy it because you kind of laid out the landscape of guys who might be available at the deadline. But before we get into that, I want to talk about just your general view of where this Penguins team is and your thoughts and what you think Jim Rutherford's thoughts are based on the last 2 weeks of play. We've seen this team kind of go through the trough, lose two games at home, play a really good game in St. Louis, and then win a game, largely with great goaltending, against Florida, where maybe they didn't play well the last two periods. Where do you think this team is?
Well, I think that's always the thing you don't want to get too caught up in is the short-term results. And I know Jim Rutherford would probably tell you the same thing, but you can't ignore them either. And so when you do see problems, I think I remember Ray Shearer used to talk about looking at the season in 25-game pieces. And he said, you know, after every 20 or 25 games, you've got enough sample there to start to draw some trends. You realize, hey, we're struggling on defense, or we're struggling to get scoring from our third and fourth lines. And I've seen a couple problems with the Penguins this year, especially as you think towards how the NHL is structured in the playoffs now, where you have to come out of your division in the first two rounds. So there's likely opponents of Washington and the New York Rangers facing the Penguins in the future here, and I'm not sure they're structured. So that would they're structured appropriately to play those teams. That would be my biggest concern, especially on defense. And so I think while they have a lot of talent on the back end there, I'm not sure it's the right mix to handle some of those more physical and stronger teams in the Metropolitan Division.
Mike, it's interesting. Look, everybody knows the numbers. I mean, the Penguins have rolled through the Western Conference and the Atlantic. They, you know, their troubles have been right in the division, and you hit it. Look, they're going to play the Islanders, Rangers, or Capitals. All three of those teams have had the Penguins' number. Tomorrow night, they get the Capitals on their last chance. They've scored one goal against them all year. The Flyers have also had the Penguins' number, you know, over the last year and a half, couple of years. Is there something, aside from the nature of the team, is there something in the Penguins about playing them repeated times that you think gives these teams an advantage? Psychologically, style of play, is there something that you can point to?
I sure do. I think it's like any sport. You know, you think of a pitcher that comes up from the minor leagues and all of a sudden runs through the league over the first month or two or even 3 months, but it's when they start to face those division teams for the second time.
Yep.
We see often a guy can fall off the rails and maybe never make it back to the majors. And I think the same thing happens in hockey, and especially as it relates to the Penguins and under Coach Mike Johnston, a rookie head coach in the NHL. He brought a system and a style of play that was totally new for the Penguins from a few perspectives, and he's new to the NHL altogether, so he's not a retread where the league knows what his styles and his approaches and his tendencies are, but I think that's what we're seeing playing out now. Johnston really simplified what the Penguins were doing. There was so much complexity under former head coach Dan Bylsma that I think Mike Johnston realized if he could get the players to play more simple and in less complexity, less thinking out there, more reacting, I think that was a big reason the Penguins had so much success early on. And that's a rare thing in the NHL when you have a new head coach come in and the team does as well as they did the first half. That's certainly a good story, but what happens is once those division teams start to figure you out and you don't have the complexity in your system to maybe keep them on their toes, I think that's where you see them start to struggle, and that's certainly is showing in some of their results as of late.
Talking with Mike Colligan, you can check out his work at colliganhockey.com. Mike, you look at this situation in Mike Johnston, and in your opinion, is he doing a good job? Is there a scenario in your mind where if the Penguins go out in the first round, which, you know, based on what we've talked about and what we've seen so far this season, that is not an unlikely scenario. Is Mike Johnston the Penguins head coach next year?
I think that's a tough question, and one I don't think I would say a resounding yes to. And especially we heard the press conference in the summer when Ray Shearer was let go. I think that was a big surprise. That was not something I think many people expected. They assumed Dan Bylsma was probably on a short rope there, but to see them just clean house like that and to then come out and say that the third round or the second round of the playoffs wasn't good enough, I think set the bar maybe unreasonably high. And so I think to say, hey, Mike Johnston takes them to the first round where they get bounced by the Washington Capitals, is his job safe? I don't know how I can say that. I don't think he's in a position to right now. And that'll be the big question. There's a ton of pressure still on this team, despite making the wholesale changes. This is a team that's really under the spotlight. And so when I look long term, I think the Penguins are going to have to perform, and they've set that bar about as high as it can be. So I think Mike Johnston's certainly playing for his career and going forward as well year to year.
Conversely, Jim Rutherford, if you look at the things he's done since he arrived, almost to a move, you kind of look at it and you almost endorse it. I mean, the trade of Neil to get Hornquist and Spaulding, he brings in Como on a very cheap deal, Downey on a one-year deal. He goes out and gets David Perron. You know, you can go across the board and Max LaPierre. You look at these and it's hard to find anything to be critical of. Let me ask you a question. Is the most important thing he did in the offseason and the best thing he did signing Marc-Andre Fleury to a very reasonable long-term deal, or is it still just a matter of what happens in April? We can't even make that judgment yet.
Well, that's a good question. I think as far as the long-term perspective of the team, Fleury, getting him locked up and not giving him too many years. I'm seeing so many teams now that are really getting elbowed into a corner by their star goaltenders and committing way too long to these guys that don't have a super long shelf life in that position. But I think that was a significant move. I think he made some great acquisitions on the free agent market in getting Blake Como, Christian Ehrhoff for very, very valuable and low money deals as far as what their market value really was, I think, to the rest of the league. So I think he can be commended for that. But when I look at longer term and maybe what this team looks like over the next 1, 2, and 3 years, I think this was going to be a transition year for Ray Shearer had he still been in position to do that. Now I think that's been delayed a bit, but when you look at that roster for next year, we just mentioned two guys, Christian Ehrhoff and Como, who were only on one-year contracts, Steve Downey, one-year contract. So there's going to be opportunity and or challenge for Rutherford to really put his mark on the team next year. While he did make a number of those changes, it was largely Ray Shearer's group that was here. I think we find out next year really what Jim Rutherford wants the long-term vision of this Pittsburgh Penguins franchise to look like.
Mike, is it fair to say that Chris Letang, Marc-Andre Fleury, Paul Martin, all having career years? Maybe you don't say it with Martin, but we can debate it. Do you think all three of those guys are playing the best hockey of their lives?
Well, Letang certainly is. I think, you know, we talked a few minutes ago about the simplification, the less thinking out there. Chris Letang is not a thinking defenseman, and that's not his style of play, and you could see him really start to get uncomfortable under Dan Bylsma, who was forcing him to not join the rush as often as he'd like, not use his skills and natural abilities and instincts. So I think Mike Johnston's system is a great fit for a guy like Letang, where he can just really play the game and do the things that he really does well. I mean, you look at him getting involved in the offense. Sometimes he looks like a forward out there when he stays in the offensive zone, but that's what Johnston's approach is. He has no problems. He encourages the defenseman to get active in the offense there, and his philosophy is, hey, if you are the puck carrier, you're the forward taking it into the zone, and the defenseman is joining you for support, it's your responsibility as that forward with the puck to make the smart play. If you create a turnover and the defenseman's not back, that's on you. And so I think that's a different approach and a different philosophy from most NHL coaches, but I think it shows why so many of these defensemen like Letang on the Pittsburgh Penguins roster are really getting involved and active offensively and really producing some offense for them that way.
Really good insights there, Mike. I like it. The line changes, I was a little surprised with, after seeing Mike Johnston in the first month to 6 weeks of the season, be more than willing to experiment with different line combinations, that as the Penguins went through kind of the doldrums that they did coming back from the Florida trip right around the holidays and then in January into February, that we didn't see many changes. Is that because of the power that Sidney Crosby wields in terms of deciding who he wants to play with? Or do you think Mike Johnston just stayed with this a little too long and now we're seeing him trying to figure out what the right combinations are?
I think Crosby certainly has a lot of power, and I can't speak to those conversations or what has gone on between him and Mike Johnston and who ultimately carries the most weight there. But I think, you know, from a perspective of even Jim Rutherford, I think he wants to see what they had in that roster, and that might have been a reason where they really locked down some of those defensive pairs. I think they locked down the forward lines just to get a sense for, you know, what do we have? What do we need, more importantly, especially as we head into the trade deadline here? And as you said, it wasn't successful with the lineup that they had. I think the current lines are what I was expecting quite a long time ago. Get David Perron playing on the left wing where he's a natural left winger for his career. Get Patrick Hornquist up on the right wing with Sidney Crosby where they had chemistry and success early in the season here. And I think now you really need a right winger for Evgeny Malkin's line. Despite Blake Como scoring this year, that's been a pleasant surprise. I think he contributes more on a third line, adding that scoring punch. I think you just got to find an answer for Malkin's right wing there as far as that second line goes.
What does Bo Bennett's future hold this year and going forward in your mind?
Well, you'd think he gets a crack at that second line right wing at some point here. I think they've got to figure out if he is going to be a top six player for the long term. And he's not I don't think he's a great third line player. I think he can play there if need be, but that's just not his style of play. And so they've got to decide if he can't fit on that second line with Malkin in that hole that is pretty obvious right now, they've really got to consider moving him on, because I think a team would look at him and say, hey, that's a first-round talent. He's got some really good hands and creativity. He doesn't play a physical game, but there's another team that's going to look at him and say, yeah, we'll take the risk there. We'll see if we can get him into a new spot away from some of the bad luck and the injuries and the struggles that he's had in Pittsburgh and see if we can get him onto the right track.
Boy, I couldn't agree more with all of that. Mike, let me ask you, because maybe I misinterpreted what you wrote, because it sounds like when you talk about this, if you look at the Penguins and you want to find that right winger for the top six guy, Bo Bennett is the obvious candidate. But if it's not Bo Bennett, who? There isn't really one in the organization. And yet it feels to me that they do need a forward. But in terms of what you wrote and what you talked about when we opened about constructing this team and certainly playing in the Metropolitan Division, you feel like defense is the priority over offense.
I know. I guess I've made a wish list that's a little bit too long, especially considering the Penguins' salary cap situation. And that's got to be what Jim Rutherford's thinking right now. I think he needs a defenseman. He needs a right winger on the second line. And those are two positions that are not cheap, especially if you want a solid, reliable answer. I think defense is really the priority. I think he could get away with having Como on that second line and making do with the lineup they have. But I think if Rutherford can't find the ideal defenseman, which I think is a challenge in this market, there's not a real great fit for what the Penguins need, I think then they kind of go to plan B and say, hey, we've got some options out there as far as that potential right winger position, a guy that could click with Malkin, and maybe we'll take a chance with one of those.
The whole Jordan Staal thing, really nice research by you in your article looking back at kind of the book that where somebody interviewed all the general managers who've won a cup. And, of course, Jim Rutherford did that back in, 2006, I think, with Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about what he's, you know, how he manages on the phones all the time, but not necessarily making things public. I've been a bit surprised about how much Jim Rutherford has shown his cards this year, but he doesn't talk about players, as most general managers don't. Is it fair to say that Jordan Staal's never been a realistic option, not just because maybe Carolina can't move him, but the Penguins can't possibly fit him under their salary cap, right?
Especially in the short term. I can't say whether that was true or not either, but I guess this time of year that could be said about just about every rumor that we hear. But I just don't see the short-term fit. I think, you know, we just talked about that roster up front and the need for a second-line right wing. So if the Penguins would acquire Jordan Staal, how does he solve that problem? Are you going to have him play out of position with as much money as he's getting as a really good center in this league? You're going to put him on a right wing to do that? Or do you make him the third line center? And then now where do you put Brandon Sutter? I don't think Sutter has shown that he can play on the wing and is certainly more natural in a center ice position. So I think in the short term, for the assets it will require for the Penguins to be competitive as far as an offer goes, I just don't see the fit there. And I think I agree. I'm not sure that Jordan Staal is really the answer for what the Penguins need right now.
One interesting name that you threw out there here in the last minute that we have was Jiří Tlusty of Carolina, another guy down there on that same team. I've always thought tremendously talented player. As you point out, look, he's not a physical guy, but he is a guy who can score goals, and it feels like that would be a perfect addition to this team. Is that a realistic possibility?
I think so. You know, when you think of Rutherford's history in Carolina, and he was a guy that he didn't just draft Tallulah. He went out and actively acquired him from Toronto early in his career. And I think Tallulah was a guy that ended up being very successful, especially 2 years ago when he played alongside Eric Staal and Alex Semin. And I tell people that all the time. You know, it's one thing to be a third wheel on a line like that, but he's a guy that contributes on a line like that. He can play at the level of some of the top-end players in the league. And, again, we talked about Blake Como. I think Blake Como's doing fine with Evgeny Malkin, but there are a number of situations and moments where he gets the puck and just, you can tell, he's not at the level of Malkin. He's not thinking at that level, that speed. Tallulah's a guy that does. Tallulah can play with some really talented players, and I think with his creativity, he could be a pretty dynamic combination with Malkin, and one that I don't think would cost the Penguins very much if they took that risk.
Hey, Mike, that was really fun. Great insights. Congratulations on the new site. Look forward to continued work, and we'll certainly do it again.
Thanks, David. Anytime.